opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Okay, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is August the 14th, 2017. We have a live special show for you today. Usually we do, we go into our advertisements and everything else. We're going to do some of that really quickly, but we have a special show for you all today that we're going to be doing. And is going to be centered around the crusade that we're putting together with Kim Melanchon in regards to protecting all. And you've been listening to Black Talk Radio Network. You know the overall situation, but now we want to put some actions behind that so that we can actually have some momentum and some energy put into directions that will get results that are so, so needed. We have Kim with us today, and so we're going to – that's what today's show is all about. I didn't post anything else inside of BTR community because of there's a lot that's going on in the world, but I didn't post anything because I just wanted this to be the focus of everything. And actually I was on vacation, but because of this is more important to me than our vacation, and so this is where we want to do. But of course, but let's get into first. Everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy. You could easily do that by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. That is www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And once you're there, very easily you can see the donation prompt that will be there. Just hit that and give and then give some of that energy. And also you can also be a part of BTR community. That is the social media outlet for Black Talk Radio Network. And if you would just go there, join. It's only $24 a year to be part of BTR community. It's the only place that I post. It's the only place that I actually engage in, you know, my social media activities. I don't do it on other spots, but those will be come in handy because a lot of people do them in our campaign. So I'm going to tell you, today's show is very, very important very, very significant for us. But I would be remiss knowing some things without telling you. And I also put into today's show, because today's show is how we can commit and help with the crusade to protect all, with Kim Melanchon, mother of Dwayne Hickerson. And this is what today's show is going to be all about. And I said that the only thing that we're going to be talking about is this on the show. But I would be remiss if I didn't give you some breaking news that's very, very want you to watch out for. It was almost a point where I said, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't do the show today. And then I tried to call in and I couldn't get in. So that was the problem. But here's what I want you all to know. It appears from very credible sources that North Korea has moved to launch another missile, and the U.S. is actively responding to it. There's also been radio silence in Guam, has been some of the reports, and it hasn't hit mainstream media news as of yet. But if that is the case, and this is the same ballistic missile that they tested on the 30th of June that was successful, and that's the one that they've been threatening to use and to have a test where it would go towards Guam. And currently, Kim Jong-un has disappeared and vanished. And there was reports last night there were two military planes that flew from Pyongyang to either to Russia and one to Beijing, and that was of great, great concern because that possibly could have been Kim Jong-un removing himself because he knew that this missile launch was going to be today. And the U.S. has said if there is the case where they do try to do that missile launch, they would shoot it down and then have a response to it. So it hasn't been thoroughly vetted, but I always try to give you information before it comes out because this could be very, very significant. If this is true, and it probably will be in the next couple of hours, that if they're going to do that missile launch, and they say that U.S. satellites have picked up the movement of their missile transporters to do just that. And if they do launch, it will be in the next couple of hours, and how it will respond from there. Some of the things that I'm concerned about is that it's been reported that the U.S. has put out a worldwide EMS for the U.S. military, which is emergency action message. Basically, the units around the world have already have been put on notice of what their response and what they will be doing in case something like this happens, and so now they get the emergency action message. So this could all, you know, how it could go and where it's going to go, I'm not quite sure. I just know this, is that North Korea is a very capable military organization that has nuclear weapons. And I know that from my history, and their capabilities are far, far more advanced than what's been said. There are no threats that haven't been made that were credible from North Korea, even though we all know that all of these governments are in one big fraternity together. So I would not have brought this up to you all, but I don't want you to be caught blindsided by this, and I want you to be aware of this because this is very, very serious. This has some very, very, the ramifications of this could be very life altering for many of us, and especially for our young people. So I just wanted to say that, and I will be monitoring, and if something changes from that, I will definitely let you know, because I have an obligation to tell you. And there's also been reports, don't know how true it is, but the likelihood of it being true is very, very true, that the U.S. has actually put up their nuclear command centers, the planes that actually would carry for the continuity of government, the actual planes that will be carrying the command staff during an engagement, especially an engagement with a nuclear capable country. So things are unfolding, and it looks as if the Air Force base in Guam has hit radio silence, and that's for those of you that have been in the military, you know the significance of that. But the EAM is the most telling thing. And these organizations that are reporting this now were actually the ones that were reporting and I stopped talking. The actual reporting of everything that's coming out from some of these sources have always been very correct in the past. So Let me just real quickly, because numerous emergency action messages have been transmitted to the U.S. military via shortwave radio. If you have a shortwave radio, please turn it on. That we would know. You know, these are messages are coded, and there is no possible way of decoding them. But the fact that there's a numbers of the EAMs are being transmitted is not a good thing at all, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's also a latest report. According to a bulletin, urgent, North Korea leaders briefed on plan to attack near Guam on state television. This is unfolding now, and it hasn't been confirmed, or we haven't seen anything major, but the likelihood, according to bulletins from South Korean newspapers, state-run television service in North Korea is proudly reporting. So that is from the first news, the South Korean official newspaper is now reporting that there's been state-run services in North Korea. Is proudly reporting North Korean leaders briefed on a plan to attack near Guam on their state televisions. And so this is, and I don't usually do this, I don't like to change our plans, but this is something that's very, very concerning, and please have an appropriate response. If you've been listening to Tando Radio Show since the inception of this radio show, and what we've always been about is preparing, then you know the of this. And Kim, I'm sorry, I just needed to say this, because I would be remiss not to report to some of our listeners about what's going on and what possibly could unfold. We will definitely, Kim is there, we will continue in the show. And unless something else changes, if something else changes where it's North Korea does engage in a test or a missile launch, then I think that we all should be, we can come back after everything settles down to do this, because this is going to be something that is extremely, this is serious. This is extremely, extremely serious. So sorry about this. This is nothing that we created. This is not the environment that we created, but this is the environment that we're in. And I would say that this is not something that we can sleep on. And I'm going to definitely keep a close lookout for this. I'm going to try to pull up, and let me just pull up the South Korean newspaper. And I have that in one of my favorite places. And if that is the case, we are on air here. And then I would say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that we need to be mindful of and get a head start on. And I will tell you some of the things that I think that you should do just in case. One second. And I don't think it's hit. No, it's not. So hopefully this is. Let me hit there. I'm going to hit there. One Hop News Agency. One second. And then we'll get going with what's going on here with us, what we're doing with the crusade. Hopefully this is not something that we need to alter our plans with. And the site can't be reached. Let me see. Refresh this. Second. That's a DNS address. Let me try another one. And so, here we go. Let me try it one more time. And so we can have an up-to-date account on what's happening here. Okay, so here is all headlines. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm here on... okay, this is out of... Okay, so today is the 15th in North Korea. And this is what... This is what is being reported now. This is the South Korean urgent. North Korea leaders briefed on plan to attack near Guam. And oh, okay. And I'm looking on for today. North Korea's ambassador has been recalled to North Korea. This ain't good. Okay, and this is the reporting from the South Korean. I'm so sorry. I didn't want, you know, this is not something that I wanted to be dealing with today. But I'm going to just say this. This is extremely, extremely urgent. This is extremely, extremely important. Once I see this, North Korea's ambassador has been called to Pyongyang for meetings. And this was from yesterday. Key North Korean ambassadors overseas are currently being called back into Pyongyang for joint meetings, officials said Monday, as the communist country is drawing up unprecedented intentions for its nuclear and missile program for the international community. North Korea seems to be hosting what appears to be a meeting of foreign diplomat missions chiefs after calling its ambassador from major countries back to North Korea. The government official said yes. Once you start having people being recalled, ambassadors, one of the first things that you do is recall your ambassador. And so... It looks as if North Korea is actually, to me, this is verification that North Korea is actively engaging in another missile launch that could be going towards Guam. And the U.S. response has always been, if they do that, they will shoot it down, and then they will have an appropriate strike or response to North Korea after that. Meaning they would shoot it down and then there would be a military response from the U.S. So because of that, ladies and gentlemen, this totally changes the complete dynamics of today's show, and it may actually change the whole dynamics of our lives. And it's just that all of us, regardless of who we are, and it's just that serious. It's not something that I'm reporting this from. I will post this inside a BTR community so that you all can see it for yourself and follow this. This is not me just reporting this. And unfortunately, when you want to know what's going on right away, you have to go to outside families, because I don't know. Let me just say this. This is how serious this is. If this does go through, the U.S. could be in a state of martial law within 72 hours. It's that serious, because North Korea is a nuclear power. And I don't want you to neglect my overall obligations, especially when I know some things, and not tell you, because I rather
Hello, Dave.
Things not go awry than they do go awry. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, we actually got disconnected Joining from the board. Now. We're approaching the 25-minute mark, so Kim is still on. Sorry about that. We got disconnected. We've been having audio issues today. While we have been streaming on the station, we got disconnected from the conference line, and we've just joined back. Sorry.
No, no problem. You know what, Scotty, and I'm going to tell everyone, there may be a reason why we haven't, it could be a reason why we're having communication problems as well. So I posted it there in the South Korean news agency, official news agency, is there. You can go on their website, their English-speaking one, and check out what's there. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey, Kim, I'm so sorry about this. You know, my plan was, for us to jump off into this campaign. But, you know, things happen, uncontrollable things outside of our control are starting to happen, and they are very, very serious, as I know you know. And
absolutely.
But we are still going to, I'm just going to give some advisements to people. And then we'll move on with our overall campaign, okay? Just in case the geopolitical status changes in the world, and I don't want it to catch our people off guard and unprepared. So we will definitely get to today's show, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so just give me 1 minute. Let me... Okay, so this is my own my opinion about. I think that this is definitely the information that I got probably just 30 minutes before going on, or hour before going on air, and I've been watching it since then. To me, this is credible, very, very credible, and it looks as if North Korea is attempting right now to set up, and they always do all of their tests, missile testings in the morning, and the reason why, just in case there's a counterstrike by the U.S., they would have at least the daylight to be able to, for their citizens and for them to respond before the evening, because that's when the U.S. wants to use the overall cover of darkness and moonlight to be able to affect their counter strike. So it is my opinion, based off of the information that I've received, and now looking at the South Korean paper, North Korea, let's talk about what they did say has done. North Korea has called back their ambassador, which in itself is always a sign that a military confrontation is about to engage. There was also an urgent for today, just 15 minutes ago. North Korea leaders briefed on a plan to attack near Guam. This is what South Korea's, their intelligence has said. So it is going to happen. Kim Jong-un has been, this has not been verified, and you wouldn't get any verification of this. Is actually, I got this one from, and I posted, this is from the Express, .co.uk, and it says that North Korea's Kim Jong-un has vanished, bringing up concerns that a possible missile strike is near our engagement. So, and like I said, last night I heard before going to bed, I was looking at some publications that there were two planes that left North Korea, one heading toward Beijing and one heading towards Russia. That would be the only place that Kim Jong-un would go to be able to engage in, knowing that the next day a response to the missile launch would be a military one. So I don't think that this is a bluff, and if the missile does, and it's the same missile that was used on the 30th, the HM-12 is the system that is being used in putting on launchers from the reports right now. So with that being said, I'm going to say this and we're going to get into the show. If there is a missile launch and the U.S. does shoot down this missile, because it goes, if it even just goes towards Guam, or I think now it's probably if the missile launch happens in itself, if the U.S. engages and tries to shoot it down, it does shoot it down or misses, I think that the overall talking will end. Now there will be military engagement, and you need to be appropriately aware of some of the things that you need to be doing. One, make sure that you have the necessary food and provisions at your home right now. Number two, acquire potassium iodine. Number three, ensure that all of your family members are well aware, especially those that won't be able to have a escape. And there's certain states. I actually was briefing some of my family back in California to be prepared to, you have to move early. If there is a military response by the U.S., you probably will only have about 72 hours before the country is put on martial law, restricting the movement and everything else. I'm not saying this to scare you. This is not for anything other to but to inform you about how bad and how this works. And I'm going to tell you, I know from being in the military, and I know from being a part of a major, one of the largest cities in this country's police department, and being a part of its emergency response to major, major events. All of the major cities, particularly Los Angeles, has been training for years for, but they didn't know what they were actually training for. By me being in the military, I knew what they were training for. They were actually training for the U.S. to be in a combat zone here in the States by way of missiles or by way of dirty bombs or whatever, in which it was really probably going to be about is it about was actually missiles. So this is very, very serious, because if this does happen, and it looks like it's going to happen, you have to be deliberate in all of your decision making. Gather your family, get to a safe position. If you are somewhere that is lacking in resources, go immediately, but wait until you know for sure. Go immediately to a safer place. What is a not, if you can get out of, then get out of harm's way. If you are in a place that, such as Southern California, if you have to stay in Southern California, just get all the necessary provisions. But if you have the means and capability to leave and get out of California and go further inland, then do just that. If you have that means at the appropriate time, do not wait until it's too late. And you can't rely on planes. You can't rely on planes, and you're going to be limited in relying on transportation of vehicles, because getting out of Southern California is a long road with no gas station. So you would have to make that determination immediately, or you shelter in place. I don't know if there would be an actual strike in the States, but that's not the thing. This can deteriorate very, very quickly, and you need to be ahead of the game. So I just wanted to say that, and for you all to be aware of it. And once again, I apologize to you all, because that's not what today's show was going to be about. But because of the urgency of this, you can understand why we had to move to this. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and move into what today's show is going to be about. And then we'll probably, because of the time that we've already spent in it, we probably will do another one. I will do another one this week if nothing if nothing happens. I want to be mindful of Kim's time. I want to be mindful of your time as the listeners. So with that being said, I just want to check one more thing, and then we will get into today's show. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, once we open up the phone lines, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and just hit star, and you will we'll see you in queue and we'll definitely bring you up. Scotty, are you there? Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yeah, I hear you, Dave.
Okay, cool. All right, just wanted to make sure because I'm going to be on the board. Okay, so I'm going to jump into today's show. All right, today's show is that what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about building our campaign with Kim, the campaign, the crusade to protect all. And Kim, you know, also has a campaign for disclosure, which is basically one and the same. And we want to strategize and develop an action plan for you all to be a part of, and actually for you, the listeners, to facilitate some of the energy that is going to be needed for us to acquire what it is and to get what it is that we want. And I would just say that everyone always be mindful that this is not about our personal feelings, where we put our personal feelings before the overall crusade to bring about a more holistic and healthy approach to how different relationships should be governed in the country by the people, not by the government itself, but mandates that the people themselves are requiring that this is acceptable behavior, because unacceptable behavior results in people's lives being adversely affected or far, far worse, which is definitely in Duane's case. And so we want to prevent that. So I would just say, always remember, it's not about any one individual. It's about what it is that we're trying to do collectively. And what we're trying to do collectively is that we want to put a campaign together that will protect everyone. And protecting everyone means that we have to ensure that there's a legislative process that does just that, because the current process is actually preventing due process of law and is actually insufficient in protecting the general population from predators, from individuals that have motives of harm and criminal intent. And so against the unsuspecting or the unpredicted, we want to ensure that people aren't victimized by someone else's agenda or by their overall predatorial means. And that's what we're here about, all about. So with the crusade to protect all, is that what has to happen is that there has to be laws that reflect the overall criminal activities of today's modern world. And in today's modern world, there are individuals that will prey upon that loophole or that gap that would protect us all. And we want to prevent that from happening, because this is something that is going to continue to happen. What we've seen recently is going to magnify itself and is going to cause for people to be put in harm's way, and we want to prevent that. So what we want to do is that we want to have laws that require individuals, if they are going to engage and they plan on engaging in a intimate relationship with a partner, and they represent themselves as one thing, but they're not that way, particularly in the transgender community. Transgender individuals should have the same opportunities, the same abilities as everyone else. It's not anything that's an anti-transgender law, but what it is it should definitely be protecting for individuals that happen to be transgender, that choose not to tell someone and they present themselves as something that they're not. Even, you know, and the laws will have to dictate, and we as the people will have to dictate the actual writings of that. Once, if they've been through the overall process, Are they required to tell their mate or everything else? Well, if they sincerely care about people, then they should tell. That should be something, a responsibility that should be done definitely individually. But what happens is this: if you know that the individual is not looking for that type of relationship, then full disclosure has to be given, because then it's fraud. You are fraudulently engaging in a relationship that the other person would not consent to. It's not what you think, is what the other person thinks, what their consent level is. If they would want to engage in that, they should have the overall full protection of the law to say yes or say no. Because if we don't do that, then what is going to happen is that we are going to see the transgender community is going to be adversely affected by individuals throughout, you know, individuals will take it upon themselves, and there will actually become all types of stereotyping that will be put into place that is going to lead into a more destructive relationship with the overall community at large. It is in the best interest of us for that the fraud itself, that fraud is legislated, and the fraud laws are actually brought into the modern times to include relationships. If you, regardless of which way you are going, it's just like if there also should be, if you are affected by any kind of disease that can adversely affect someone's life, by having intimate relationships, then full disclosure should be there, because that protects all. Give that individual who is not infected the opportunity to say no, when you know yourself that someone is. This is not just about the transgender community, but this is about protecting all communities. And I'm going to say this before we go to Kim, and I want her to just to give some insight. Then we want to come back and give you some of the things that we would want you, some help from you with, and then hear from you yourself. And remember, this is about a campaign to protect all. This is also very, very significant, because if we don't do these things, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. We are not protecting the individuals that would be victimized. And so this is the reason why we need to have these things. And because I truly, truly don't think that Duane would have been in that relationship or had continued that relationship if he had known. Known. That is the major crime. Is something that why there needs to be laws that protect society against that. And this is the campaign that we're going to be engaging in. My computer is a little messed up. Was there someone that a question, a comment? If you would just hold on 1 minute, I just want to hear from Kim, and then we're going to lay out what it is that we're going to need from you. Then we'll open up the lines for you all to, okay? And I'm having trouble seeing the board, so I can't see the board. And so what I'm going to do, if someone is following this,
I got the board, Dave, but I believe Kim's okay. Mic is unmuted.
Okay. Yeah, I just got kicked off the board. So what I want to do real quick is I want to bring Kim up and for her to give her important once again and just to hear from Kim. And then we're going to move into, we'll probably go to a commercial break, and then we'll move into what some of the things that we're going to be calling on you to participate in, for you to give some of your energy to, because there was something that someone said. They said, you know, Dave, you have the power, but we have more power collectively together. And I know that's what the individual had met. But this is something, a campaign that is about protecting all, so it requires all of our input into this, and that is the only thing that is going to move the needle in a direction, the moral direction that it needs to go, because the politicians and the laws will continue to do what's politically correct, and politically correct is always morally wrong. So what we'll do now is, Kim, if you're there, Kim, you're there.
I can't see
the board, but you're there, sister?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hey, sister, how you doing? We have a full board from the last I saw, so I just want you to...
Dave, are you having trouble hearing her? I'm sorry, because I am using two different phone systems because of the earlier problems, but are you having trouble hearing Kim? Kim, can you speak up a little bit?
I can hear her perfectly.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay, so
you got it, Scotty?
To piggyback off of what Dave was saying about revealing gender is not an invasion of privacy, because the privacy is invaded when someone is entering a deceitful relationship with another person. So again, freedom stop when they infringe upon the rights of another person's freedom. So you're no longer at liberty to not disclose information when you are in an intimate setting. And I always feel that the best advice is to do so prior to an intimate relationship. And Dave, you were absolutely correct. My son would not have continued an online relationship or any type of relationship with someone that had identified themselves as a male. My son is a heterosexual male, so his preference is born women. And that doesn't make his choice a transphobic choice or he's a homophobe. It just makes it what he is, a heterosexual male, who was not given the opportunity to make a decision for himself. So he was, in essence, forced into a relationship that he did not want to be a part of, which is, in essence, what we are trying to avoid here by disclosure. Once people are able to be upfront, and I use this a lot, if you tell people that you are living your truth, then you tell the truth. That's very important. So to live your truth is to be truthful and honest in all your dealings with everyone. So I'm not saying that to say that transgenders have to go around wearing a scarlet letter and proclaiming that they are transgender to everyone. But certainly if you're entering into a romantic relationship online, you're signing up on online websites and you're identifying as a woman, when the person who is on the other side of the pen is picking out, I'm a man seeking to meet a woman. So that's where the fraud starts. That's where it starts. So if you know that that's going to be difficult for you, that's one of Gia's big panel discussions that we will entertain with other people, is how to have the dialogue. When should they be upfront with disclosure? I say before intimacy, I say at the early set of even feeling as though there's going to be some type of intimate relationship, and certainly not after the fact. That is definitely not the right time to disclose, hey, by the way, I'm a man.
Yes, and Kim, you know,
that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yes, and you know, Kim, it's the same as this. Nor do we condone people attacking people because they choose to live their lives that is not going to be adversely affecting you. We always say here, your freedom ends where someone else's begins. So if someone chooses to be heterosexual, there should be no other people that are causing them harm, interfering, infringing, impeding, delaying, adversely affecting their overall choice to be heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, or anything else that's going to come out in the future. That is not what this is all about. But here's the thing. If there are going to be, if it's a crime to attack someone because they are a different sexual orientation or a different sexual preference than yours, and you attack them primarily and because of that, it's a crime to do that. Well, then it's also a crime to deceive someone into having a fraudulent relationship with you when they would not have. There is no difference at all. It's deception. And that deception plays into the emotions of someone. It plays into their quality of life, their standard of living, their moral convictions. This is how deeply rooted this is. If there would be a hate crime for attacking a person of a religious choice, then it's also a hate crime for you to deceptively and fraudulently engage something into someone that infringe against their overall moral makeup. You can't, just because one individual chooses to change their gender doesn't mean that they have the right and the overall wherewithal to change someone else's accepting of them in acceptance of that by way of deception. Just because that change, you made that change, that's fine. That change is your individual change. There should be the proper process for that to happen. You should be able to find without hindering someone that will if they will engage in that. If it's a profitable business with doctors to perform that and everything else, that's fine. And whenever you should go to a store, and whenever you should go about your daily life, you should be treated as the human being that you are. And that's what we're talking about here. If we cannot have protection laws that protect people from attacking without protecting anyone from being adversely attacked by what should be protected. It has to be blind. It has to be sincere. It has to be fair and equitable across the board. No, you can't be, you should not be, someone can choose to attack you, but society will actually require that there be some punishment or some retribution for that act, or a deterrent for you doing that. There should be also a deterrent for individuals with that same, because there is no difference of a fraudulent mind for a person that will sign a check in someone else's name than it is for someone to tell that another person that they are one way when they're not. And then, after the fact, tell that individual that they're not. You knew it was a problem from the very beginning.
Hey,
so the intention to be fraudulent is there.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I mean, we're also talking about religious freedoms, and we haven't brought this up, or at least I have not heard it brought up on the Black Talk Radio Network, but it's also religious. It has been brought up in some conversations that I've been a part of, but you're not even considering, you're trampling that person's freedom of religion as well. And for some people,
immoral convictions.
And by you not giving them that choice, I mean, that's another, you know, strike against you as an individual for intruding upon the rights of someone else. And I know there has been in the past efforts to demonize people who hold certain moral convictions. But it's okay if they hold those moral convictions or religious beliefs, as long as they are not forcing them on unwilling. You know, that's like me kidnapping somebody into a cult and forcing them to adhere to a religious code I done made up or something to that effect. And so I know how they try to demonize people, but for some people that's a sin. You still you see yourself as a woman, but a heterosexual male sees you as a born male, and he's seeking a born woman. And like Kim said earlier, that's a preference. But then when you engage in that fraudulent activity, I can see it as a mortal sin. According to some people's religious beliefs, man, and moral codes, that's a grave sin. That's called an abomination. It doesn't matter if you agree with their worldview, but as long as they're not forcing their worldview or religious view on you. So here you are with your reality as a transgender person, and you see yourself as a woman, but you can't force that on us. You see what I'm saying? It's boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And this is really about protecting the protection of all. This protects the transgender community, because I'm going to tell you, this is what's going to happen. Without supporting protection for all by full disclosure, by making it against the law to do that, here's what happens. You are going to see that so many people are going to even more feel that they'll take legal recourse into their own hands. Because think about it. Think about what the legal recourse is. If you have laws where you can't be knowingly deceptive, you have to disclose when it comes to an entity. You don't have to, like Kim said, you don't need a scarlet letter. No. But when it comes to where you're going to engage, when there's intent to deceive, you answer an ad for a male seeking a female. You know that individual is not seeking you. That's the problem.
Right.
And we have to do this because the stereotypical things will turn into a collective effort in decision making that other people will take to enforce themselves. And this can be very nasty. We've seen it throughout history. And so this is about protecting every. Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
I wanted to also point out to you when you talked about fraud, because of identity theft laws that have been recently instituted, it is a deterrent for most people, I would say, to not commit identity theft because they know that there are repercussions and consequences to those actions. So the same with this awareness and this disclosure law, accountability always changes our actions. So when we know that we are going to be held accountable for our actions, a tone changes, how we move changes, and how we do things changes. So that's one of the safety features of this law for all. So it is a protection because now people will be forced to have this conversation, but if they choose not to, they also would understand that the other party is protected by the law and can, in fact, bring up charges or whatever the case may be. So to date, those laws are non-existent. And so we have people taking, like you said, doing things out of insanity or whatever the case may be, taking it into their own hands because they know that there's nowhere to turn. So this is going to definitely save lives.
Yes, and you know, Kim, there's also a civil recourse that people will be able to have against individuals.
Absolutely.
There is civil, there's criminal and civil. So what does that do? What does that do? This is what it does. It takes individuals that any individual that happens to be foul, an individual that happens to be foul, that happens to be a transgender individual, it takes away their ability to do that without recourse. They know that there's legal recourse now.
I mean, look at what happened in Charlotte, though, Dave, what happened to those young people. And I'm sorry, I've been so busy with the abolitionist trip coming up in and everything that's going to be going on in Washington, D.C. this coming Saturday. But the young people here, the minors here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that were assaulted by the transgender person. And the transgender person pled guilty to a crime against nature to avoid most serious sexual assault charges. And now those young people, because they retaliated in a violent way, to what they saw as a serious crime. And it is a crime. You know, now I'm not justifying how they react to it, but with violence, these are children, though. And so I got to keep up with that case because, they allowed this person, 24 years old, an adult, to just walk away like he hadn't or wow. she hadn't. You know, we talked about that story, Kim.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Let's go to a commercial break. And then we come back. We're going to look at some of the things. We're going to look at actually the action plan that we are asking you to be involved in. The crusade to protect all, and disclosure is a part of the protection of that, protecting all. So you're listening to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Please excuse the beginning of the show, the start of the show. We had some technical difficulties, but we are here today. And then we're going to talk about some of the things that we want you to do, and then we'll open up the lines for everyone to respond, and let's get moving on this crusade to protect all. And you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
And live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., and we're going to open up the phone lines in a minute. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. And then we will pick up from there. So definitely want you all to engage in that. But just before we went to the commercial break, I think Kim was going to jump in with something. So I want Kim to be able to finish what she was going to say, then want to talk about. We're going to take it into the very, very important phase because, now we need to actually build. We've talked about and we already recognize what the ills are. Now we have to build the solution, and that is the most important part of it all. So just before we get into that, I wanted to give Kim an opportunity to finish what she was saying. Go ahead, Kim.
I was actually agreeing with Scotty regarding the case in Charlotte about the transgender that was not he didn't do any jail time because, of course, again, the laws are very jaded and non-existent right now to date. But those young men, they felt, again, the need to
It was a young woman, too,
Kim. In a
human
nature type of way.
It was a young girl, too.
And that's, what I wanted to pipe in. I'm sorry?
I said it was a young girl as well involved, a teen girl.
Oh, my goodness.
That was charged.
I read that there were three of them.
Yes, one, the victim, who was a male, and then another male and a female.
Wow.
Mm.
Again, that is very, very scary. That's scary to me.
Yeah, it is. And, it's... And we're going to get into the next. I just wanted to say this. It's very, very important because what we're doing is that there's you hear me say that this is politically motivated, where political correctness is always morally wrong. Here's why. What we, in my eyes, this is what we really have, is that you have an indefensible, inexcusable, unwarranted immunity that's given to one sector of the community over the rest of the community. This is why it's illegal, and the laws haven't caught up to, and what they're establishing by political correctness is an unwarranted immunity, and that adversely affects everyone. No one is immune to the spirit of the law. The letter of the law always has to catch the spirit of the law, because the spirit of the law can always be corrupted by mankind's decisions. And we have to ensure that that doesn't happen. And that call is upon us. So some of the things that we're going to need, we definitely will start a petition. I will have a petition that is done today. Not today, this week. I'm on vacation. I will do it this week. Put a petition together. And I know Scotty is going to, in 5 days, Scotty will be in Washington.
Yeah, Thursday, Dave. I don't want to give too much details out on our movements, but we found a house.
We're soon.
Yeah, we found a house, so we'll be there for the whole weekend.
Yeah, so Scotty will be there next week. I'm going to say this. Next week, we will have the petition done. I'm going to run it past Kim, run it past Scotty, but we also want to put a committee of individuals, you being the listeners, that will assist in what we're going to need to get out. We're going to have to disseminate the information. We're going to have to disseminate the campaign by way of Facebook, by way of Twitter, by way of all of the means that we know, by us giving up some of our time, giving up some of our really a ample amount of our energy, and giving our commitment to this, to carry this all the way through. See, what the system always wants you to do is to establish some form of leadership, because leaders can always be compromised. And this is where you'll have dreams that turn into nightmares, and nightmares become reality. So in order to be able to mitigate that, to ensure that that doesn't happen to this campaign, and this campaign is going to go into other campaigns that is going to be beneficial for all, is that we need your involvement. This doesn't need a individual face other than the case that was brought to the state of Mississippi. That is the face of this whole thing, and the reason why this has to change. And so we're going to put the petition together. We're also going to need you all to disseminate this, and your overall relationships with different people are vast. We want to target specifically large groups of people. That's going to be something that you would have to do. If you will give up some of your weekend times, an hour out of your, we're going to have to do. See, one of the things is that it's very important to notice something is wrong. But noticing something is wrong can change you to accept what is wrong because you do nothing about it. Let's do everything that we possibly can to do with it. There are so many things that are going to come up that we're going to need to delegate people that, okay, this is what you're going to do. We're going to need chapters in Mississippi. We're going to need them in Georgia. We're going to need them in California. We're going to need them in Texas. We're going to need them everywhere that you are, and you will be surprised at how many people resonate with this. And remember, you do not present this as an offensive thing to people, because we don't want this to be politicized. We don't want this to lose its momentum because of individual stereotypical thoughts and things of that nature. It's much bigger than that. So all of the ambassadors and the delegates that will be pushing this are going to have to be very mature individuals, because this is something that is adversely affecting us all and is going to require disciplined, principled people from the transgender community, because they are being adversely affected by this. In every other community as well, because when one individual decides to do what they want to do in an immoral way, it affects us all. And there are many individuals, because we're all capable of everything, but there has to be something to where we say, these are the standards that I will not break. And that needs to be something that needs to be agreed upon and push forward and represented by the collective prudence of everyone. So we are going to do the petition, but we are going to need you, once we get this petition done, for you to push this petition, not only sign it. And one of the things about petitions is that one of the things that happens with petitions is that when people do not write neatly, write their full name, their address, and everything else that's needed in the petition, a lot of the overall signatures in the petition get disqualified. We don't want one name disqualified. We want to minimize that. And why is that so important? Because that shows the strength and the convictions. And then from that, we can build the campaign and the platform to properly represent its intentions, its moral intentions to protect all. So we're going to need your engagement. Of course, we're going to need you to sign the petition, but we're going to need you to wholeheartedly and sincerely promote the petition in every state, every town, everywhere, every church, every bar, every synagogue, every street corner, everywhere. Because with that, this will be a very successful campaign that can really revolutionize how we legislate and adjudicate the laws. Then we can really see where there will be a balanced and just system that we all can have good faith and confidence in. In the current state, we don't have that. So since we don't have that, that was actually created by others, it has to be changed by you and by us. So that's some of the things that we're going to need. Are there going to be donations that we're going to need and everything else? Let me just say this about donations. Donate your time and your energy is the one of the most greatest donations that you can give. And how we'll do it with the donations, because you know how those can sometimes go awry and everything else. We will come up with a way that for that. But I would rather for the donations where no one gives to the organizations, but they actually pay for what the organization needs itself. That way, you know, there's not a car that's actually misappropriated for the campaign and this and that. You understand what I'm saying? This will be done different than everything else that's been done before, because this is completely sincere, and we're going to establish that now and in the coming weeks and months and however long that it needs to happen, because this is going to be done. So your overall engagement, it's so important. I'm, you know, for me, it will also be a continuous update on where we are and what we're doing with this, and to attract all of the right individuals and to attract all of the right assistance and to have have the most appropriate response to all of the obstacles, both natural and definitely man-made opposition that will be put forth. The opposition is not something that is going to be a problem, because we're going to be steadfast in what we're doing. People cannot agree, then they should establish their own campaign. Our response will always to be what's in the best interest of all. And so let's put that together. So those are some of the things that we're going to need from you, the listeners. And this is not about talking about it. This is now representing it. It's a big difference between talking about something socially than representing something. When you represent something, that means that you are actually giving energy to its overall fulfillment. That's what we need. We don't need conversation. We need representation, where you represent for this to be fixed and for this to be properly adjudicated, properly legislated, and properly energized. So this is going to require much. And I would ask for everyone that has taken an interest in this, and all of you have, it has meant something to you. And remember, there's a young man in Mississippi that doesn't deserve to be in Mississippi. That's what this is all about. Because before there's 2, 3, 4, 100, 1,000 people throughout this country, and before there are other people that are adversely affected, the families and everyone else, before that number grows, let's stop it here and correct it. It's okay. We know that there was a gross error that was made, and we know that there was a gross political and intentional error that was made, mistake that was made. But we're going to fix it so it does not become an error of our lives. We're going to change it to where it's fixed. That's the most powerful thing that you can do and that we can do collectively together. So the petition, we need you to promote it. We need you to represent it. As we start to unfold this, you know there's going to be all types of personalities that will want to come in to exploit this. This is not about leadership in my eyes. I don't think that there should be a leader, because this whole thing is a problem that affects everyone. There is no one leader of the human race, so why should we minimize our overall direction to a point when we should control time and space? So we're going to need exposure. We're going to need you to get out and talk to people. We're going to need you to actually develop campaigns where you are and to represent this. And then from that will be a very, very powerful, powerful representation that can't be denied anywhere. Anywhere. So those are some of the things that I want to establish with you all. And Dave, with that being said, I'm going to ask Kim if there's something that she wanted to add to that.
Yes.
Definitely to add that. And I would definitely say, remember, there is a young man that's in Mississippi that doesn't deserve to be in Mississippi. If you were that young man in Mississippi, we would be here doing this as well with your parents, with your loved ones. Absolutely. Remember what this is all about. It's bigger than us individually.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to, if Kim, if you had anything that you wanted to add as to your thoughts of some of the things that we're going to need and some things that you would like to see actually so that we can start to get, to give give energy to it and how what some of the important parts that you see that we need to focus on so that we will stay on course. I would love to hear from you, and I know everyone here would love to hear from you as well.
I wanted to also say that we can develop a talk track because it can get very tricky having these conversations and how to initiate the conversation with friends and family about the petition. So that's going to be also something that we'll be able to do, develop a talk track, because bringing it up, you want to have the right answers and not come across as confrontational. I've had a lot of conversations, and I've listened in to a lot of topics. Again, I have a diverse family, so I use them to bounce things off of so they hear and also understand and respond to me the way I would hope that a regular person on the street would respond. So with that being said, there are going to be emotional conversations about it. So we always have to keep a certain level of decorum and demeanor for the conversation to hold its weight. We're not trying to win over people that don't really feel that this is a necessary action. You know, so we can establish a talk track for those who just want to know how to bring it up or introduce it into a conversation, whether it's with your family members, colleagues, or whoever you're going to be asking to sign the petition. And just that to me is important, because there are key points about that people want to know, like what is the number of people that are incarcerated due to this, or you know, is there a defense for it, or why did this happen? So those are all types of questions that you'll get asked, and so I think it will be helpful to have a talk track for people who want to just have something that they can use as a opening conversation to get the petition out there. And it's going to be very powerful. You know, word of mouth is great as well, and making sure that in each state that we are covering that they understand that this isn't a hate campaign, or we're not promoting violence, but this is definitely for saving of lives, and this is for the betterment of all. It's protecting all of our rights, all of our constitutional rights. Scotty brought up a valid point about our religious and moral rights. So this infringes on a lot of our being when something deceptive as this happened. It just takes away, just chips it away. And so a person reacts because now they're perplexed about, what do I do now? So we really want this to be successful, and we don't want it to be something where people say, oh, another hate group has surfaced. So that's definitely not the goal here. And that's not what Duwanye represents either, and certainly not what we all represent. So I just want it to be something that we can valid and be sincerely and say, this is to save lives.
And Kim, that is critical, because the talk track is so important, because what happens is that we have to protect our energy so it won't be stolen and diluted when we're going to need it in the future. You know, one of the things to a successful business, a lot of people think that it's cash, it's contacts and everything else. One of the most important things in establishing a successful business is, do you have the energy to see it all the way through? And we don't want our energy to be misguided, to be deceived, to be trapped, and to go off track of where it needs to go that's in the best interest of the campaign to protect all by way of disclosure. So the talk track is extremely, extremely important. And I know that what we'll do is that we'll have some points that people want to, if there are some points that you all, the listeners, want to add to the talk track.
Well, yeah,
I would
like to ask a question. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, Kim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, Kim, my question is, because you witnessed this conversation, and this was a well-meaning person spreading the news and the injustice that happened to your son, DeWanye. But the person used a particular word, and I said, you know, when police kill somebody, the medical examiner put homicide. They don't make a determination or use words that make a determination of guilt. Like when we use words like killing, and I mean, so we have to be careful in our advocacy for DeWanye. Because remember, yes, he's at the center of all of this. So he's innocent. Forget what some people will talk about the letter of the law. And, well, he took a plea deal. Well, he was coerced into that plea deal. He was threatened with death. That was like putting a gun to his head and saying, sign this confession. That's basically what happened there. And so, but we as individuals, we can describe it in the accurate way that happened. And somebody described what I was feeling when I thought at 18 years old I had been fooled by a transgender person. Thankfully, it turned out to be a born woman. But you have a break with reality, your own reality. You have a break with sanity. But he did not flip out. He did not go crazy. He did not do anything of the sort. He had a mental breakdown, as of any victim of rape would have in that circumstance. Are you there? Are you still there, Dave? Kim?
Scott, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Let me check the board again. Okay, we got knocked off the board. Continue to talk, Dave. Kim's talking, so she don't know we got disconnected. Sorry, listeners, we've been having these issues today. Those who are listening to us through the streams and your smartphones. Okay.
Joining conference now. This conference is being recorded by the organizer.
All right, we are rejoining now. Kim, I'm sorry, we got cut off the last couple of minutes. If you could please respond to whatever you heard that I said.
I'm sorry, I lost me. Okay, I couldn't hear anything. I was completely cut off.
Oh, okay. Now, again, we're using these different systems today because Dave was blocked from the board. And I have a call coming in on this other system. Okay, that looks like... No, I still have Dave. So, sorry about that. I'm going to try to end that call. So, what I was saying, though, we had to use the correct language when we're talking about DeWanye. He did not go crazy. He did not get angry and mad. He had a break with reality and sanity. You know, whatever the emotions that rape victims go through, that's what he went through. And so, you know, what happened is unfortunate, but he did not cause that to happen. He was defrauded, and he had a reaction to, you know, that fraud, that crime that was perpetrated against him.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure we have Dave. That might have been Dave trying to call me. But, yeah, if you want to respond to that, I'm going to try to pull Dave back into the conversation. Let's give him a call. Again, listeners, we apologize for these technical issues today, but we've been working to resolve them. Dave, do we have you back?
Hey, Scotty.
Yeah, yes. Kim was just responding to... you know, she mentioned the talking points that they will be putting out in the track, the conversation track. And so using accurate language in describing DeWanye, okay, he's not a murderer, he's not a killer or anything. He's a victim. He's a victim who had a similar reaction to what many rape victims would have to their attackers in that situation if they had the means and the capability. So Kim was responding to that. Go ahead, Kim.
Yes, so the Duanye had been, what the legal term was, operating off of diminished capacity. And unfortunately, you know, dealing with the state itself, even though that's not going to be our focal point, that is what we would have argued, that he was, you know, temporary insanity, diminished capacity at the time of the act. And as Scotty mentioned, a similar reaction or the same reaction by any rape victim who has been traumatized. So those are words that I use to describe the end result, traumatic event, not operating off of the capacity that my son is accustomed to operating. He's a very level-headed young man. For everyone that has come into contact with him, they will tell you. And so this was certainly not Duane's character to react in such a manner unless it was some stimuli that caused this. And we know what that was. That was the traumatizing of that, the rape that happened and the victimization by fraud.
You know, and Kim is in Scotty's apps, I think that is very, very important in our talk track. It's very, very important that we understand something, that we have a principal direction that's going here, and we have to prioritize that direction. And by properly prioritizing that direction, everything that needs to be done that was done wrong can be easily corrected if the overall foundation of what was wrong is properly presented. And I'm saying that in a very tactful way, because I think there's a time and a place to address everything. But right now, what we want to do is always remove any form of the emotional charge that will go along with this, because that is only going to deter and to diminish the proper foundation that needs to be established. Because once the proper foundation is established, then itself will support the proper remedy. And I think that's very, very important. We have to have the proper foundation for the proper remedy to support itself off of. And one of the things that what happens when you deal with legalities, which in dealing with legalities, and we already know that the state of Mississippi did not accurately take on its duties and its role to protect. That has to be the foundation. And then from there, everything else will be able to establish itself from there. That is where because if we don't do that, what happens is that emotional charges, emotions will be invoked. And that is not what we want. This is a principle move. This is a principle crusade. Yes, we have emotions, but they don't dictate our decision-making. And one of the things that was so important that Kim talked about with the talk track is we want to make sure that we don't get trapped into bringing emotional things that will deter patient. Be critical to establishing what the state of Mississippi willingly forfeited on. And we have to bring that forfeiture to them, not just in Mississippi, but in every state, because Mississippi won't be able to deal with, nor will the politicians be willing to go against the overall magnitude of the momentum of everyone. So, very, very valid point. All of these are very, very valid points. But when it comes to the law, there is what was actually Duane went into a legal proceeding. The legal proceeding has to remedy what was done wrong, and there has to be the proper approach to doing that. So one thing is, we don't ever want to get caught in that, because that will only diminish. That will only start to tear away at the strong tapestry of individuals and talents that we put together. That will start to call, that will cause for the overall frailing. That will cause for the unraveling. We don't, that's not something that we want. And then in the end, from the proper foundation, the proper remedy will be built. So in that talking track, we will put that together for that. Because yes, Duane is actually the symptom of the flaw, the fundamental foundation flaw. And once we fix that, then everything can grow out of that in the proper way that it needs to grow. So I want to, I want to open up the phone lines for everyone. If you have a question or comment, I can't see the board. Just say, excuse me, Scotty is on the board. And we, if you have a question or comment about the crusade, and then that's what we're talking about, us energizing, you being a part of this crusade, then we would love to hear from you all. So if you'd like to call in, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit star, we'll see you in queue and we'll bring you up. I'm not quite sure if that's Kim or if that's someone. Is there a caller that's there? Because I can't see the board.
Hi.
Is there someone that would like to have a question or comment?
They're there. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Call.
Okay. I'm actually Whitney Victor. I'm Kimberly's niece, and I'm also Duane's first cousin. And we have been working absolutely nonstop with the whole campaign for the awareness. And I just want to say that the overall issue that I feel that we are facing is an issue that we have with the Black community. This is us victimizing us at the end of the day. I don't know whether anyone else has noticed it, but a lot of the overall deaths dealing with the transgender community have a big impact on the Black community. It's affecting us to a point that we are killing each other because of not full disclosure. It's a problem. It is a serious issue. And I think that our target audience as a whole is us. I understand that they probably have the same issues within other demographics and other nationalities. I get it. But a lot of the transgender deaths, a lot of the men that are in jail for actually committing those crimes and being victims of those crimes are Black. In fact, I actually posted in the actual Facebook page for Gia an article that had to do with gender identification that I was able to get from an LGBT website. It's actually on the actual Gia group page on Facebook. And it was amazing that 65% of transgendered men were not willing to do full disclosure when they were online dating. They said they would not do it. The reasons that they gave was that they were not sure of the way that they were going to actually be, you know what I'm saying, approached or actually received. That was an issue. And it's scary because you think about that 65% could be dead. Or that 65% of young Black men who could have been caught up in a situation where they met a transgendered man did not know that they were transgendered. I have several friends that that's actually happened to. And they were not aware that the individual that they were talking to or that they were flirting with or dating was actually a man, because when a person is able to have the level of makeup and weave and body modifications done where they look sexier than your average woman, it's very easy to fool a young man, to have them to think that this is indeed a woman. And you wait and wait and wait until it turns into a sexual encounter to say something, that's where we have the problem. But the overall issue at this point is the victimization that's happening within the African-American community. We have a problem with this, with full disclosure, because it's becoming, it's a trend. It's hot right now to be something that you're not. This is something that we didn't have to deal with back in the 90s or the 80s, but now all of a sudden, this is a big issue in the 21st century. This is something that we're having to educate our sons about, our teenage sons. Hey, you're going to be going to high school with a guy or guys that are dressing up as girls. Here is how you tell the difference. We shouldn't have to have that conversation. But since we have to have that conversation, we are in a movement to change the way things are handled when something bad happens. And this is what this organization is about. We want to make a difference in the world around us that we live in currently right now as African Americans. We may not be able to do much about reparations or anything else, but we have the power to stop this before it gets to a point where it's a slaughter and then it turns into hate.
Thank you.
Sister, well said. And I and for me, when you said the 65%, that is a major problem, and this is why a crusade to protect all is so important, because our society should be mature enough to allow itself to be completely honest about what they choose to do and how they recognize themselves with it not affecting someone else. And so this is why the crusade is so important, because it's if we don't, as you said, this is going to be something that is going to continue. Now, even with laws, you're still going to have to have private conversations with everyone about everything that's going on in the community, from drugs to whatever's going on in the world. What goes on in your home still has to be within the best interest of the responsibility of your homes. That conversation is always going to have to be there. And we're going to have to look at the new tricky ways that people are doing certain things, because the laws aren't always in front of those. Because there's going to be another trap that's going to come up. And there's always going to be a continuances of traps, because people choose to do what they choose to do. This one that's so important is that 65% is actually one of the reasons why we need to do this, because that 65% is going to turn into a crime wave of 95%.
You know, this is ridiculous, though, but she mentioned online. Now, that's the safest place to disclose, and I don't know, because I don't be on those dating sites like that. I'm on BTR Community. You'll find me on Facebook, because I have to be through for the Black Talk Media Project, Twitter, all of that. But I don't participate in those dating sites. But when I was young, a younger person, I mean, you could choose what you was looking for. I'm bisexual. I'm interested in meeting a bisexual male or female. I mean, I'm interested in meeting a couple. You know what I'm saying?
Right, Scotty. Right. There has to be choices. Yeah.
And so there is just absolutely no valid excuse for not disclosing online, like what happened in Dewanye's case. You had all this opportunity to tell this person that you've been talking to for a month, 2 months, as y'all talk about whatever you were talking about that you had in common, the things that you like, your favorite foods and all that, you had ample opportunity in a safe environment in your own home to disclose to this other person that you're on a dating site. So you know where everybody going to dating sites for intimate relationships. And you could have disclosed, yeah, and you didn't. Kim was trying to respond, and then, because, Dave, it sounds like you're here in trouble hearing people when they try to break in. That's probably because of the way the system that we had to redo the audio. But anyway, okay. Kim, did you want to respond? And then
you moderated then, Scotty. Yeah.
We got a caller from 914. We'll come to you after Kim responds. Kim, go ahead, please.
I just want to tell everyone that my niece, or Whitney, again, she is one of the members of Gia's organization as the public relations administrator, and she has done a lot of research. And again, this is not one-sided, guys. We are taking it to the streets. I mean, this is talking to every group that we encounter. So we all have diversity, you know, in our lives, and we are utilizing that diversity to try to make it to where, again, a person is not walking around branded on their forehead. That's not the goal. But when you are in an intimate relationship or an intimate setting in the privacy of your home, as Scotty said, what better time to say, hey, by the way, or how about not signing up as a woman in the first place? So, again, if nothing is ever going to be a deterrent, a for sure thing, but there will be a deterrent with legislation. So people will think twice and say, ugh, if I do this, what could happen to me? You know, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, maybe I could get in trouble with the law for that. So that usually, accountability usually is a deterrent.
Caller, we had a caller, Dave.
Okay, yeah, let's go to the caller, Scotty. I'm ready. Then I want to say something to the sister Vicky, because it was very important what she said. Go ahead. Let's go to the caller.
914.
Hi, my name is Anna Carres. I'm actually a part of GIA as well. I'm marketing and administration. My thing with this, everything that's going on, is I feel very strongly about what Benjamin Franklin once said, and it's, justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. And that's just something that I strongly, strongly, strongly feel. If, as Dave was saying earlier, if we can make these people, not through violence and not through, you know, deceit or anything of the such, but if we can, you know, make them feel the effects that we feel, then and only then will they truly understand. I'll share a short story with you briefly. I've known a few people, keyword known, I'm no longer friends with these people, who were doing acts of deception. And I consider it equivalent to what the transgender has done to Duan Ye, who I know myself. And these were people who were infected with HIV, and we all know that there's the law that you have to disclose your, you know, HIV status before being intimately involved with someone, and they never did, and they were just going around sleeping with people, never disclosing their status. They were sleeping with down low men, they were sleeping with other gay men, and just never disclosing their status, therefore infecting people, and they've never been held accountable for it. So it's just as deep as what Whitney was saying about being accountable for, and you know, having these people you know, having these laws passed and things of that nature, because you know, we already have that in place, but therefore they're still disregarding it. So my question is, this is just for everybody, like, what do you do when someone does not disclose their status, even though a law could be put in place for it?
Well, I would just say, I think when the sister asked, because I couldn't hear her, she says, what do you do when there's a law in place and someone doesn't disclose?
Well, that also provides protections to the victim, because then it's a crime.
Right.
And it's not recognized as a crime. It's not being recognized as a crime, but it is a crime. And so when you have it in place, then if an individual, well, this is a rape victim responding, who's going to jail a rape victim? Come on. So, you know, apparently we had to expand the rape laws to include rape by deception.
Rape by fraud, exactly. And not only that, there's also civil recourse that can be held. That's very, very important. Now, we all know that there are going to be individuals that are going to break the law and don't care and everything else. But at least what happens is the most important thing is that the victim doesn't get victimized to where the law will then exploit their vulnerability to being deceived.
Victimized
twice.
That's
what happened in DeWandis.
Yeah, victimized twice by the individual and then by the state. But I do want to let you know it is Monday and Melanated Roots is coming on at the top of the hour.
We're gonna end this. You know, we're going to have to end this. We'll pick this up again. We'll put all of this together. I'm definitely looking forward to working with you all. And one of the things that was very, very important said, when Vicky said it was 65%. This is why this is so important. Because that 65% is going to turn into a crime wave. And it's already there, but it's going to be a huge, much larger crime wave that's going to extend itself into all forms and all facets of criminal activities. And this is only a matter of time before there are more individuals that will be exploited by the system over this. So this is why we're doing it. Much love, much respect. Kim, love you, sister. Give me a call. Let's talk. I definitely want to work with you and what you already have in place, and just to expand on that. And that, I think, is going to be so, so important. So, everyone, it's never goodbye. It's always we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give away a fortune. The Melanated Show is coming up right after here, and we'll talk to you all soon. Talk to you later. When not having a show the rest of the week, just going to be busy working on this. And so we'll see you all next week. Thank you, Scotty. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Brother Braggs.
Peace, peace. Yes, sir.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro.
We're slicing cake.
Not the case.
base in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn